The JAC has opened its doors for another day, so it's time for the opening. And this morning I'm joined by Skulk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town. Now, Skulk, I thought about you the other day, as I often do, because I know that sometimes markets can be a little bit dreary and you probably have to sit down and say, what can I tell my clients if they phone or if I phone them? But over the last 10 days, actually since last Monday, about 11 days ago, in fact, things have got really, really interesting. We had that COVID-related so-called sell-off on Monday, and the markets looked as though they were going to tip over. Then they rebounded spectacularly. But then, of course, the China tech intervention came along, and that affected Naspers and Process via Tencent. And then we had the commodity companies coming out with their results. And now we've had the US tech companies coming out with their results, which have been blockbuster numbers, 56% increase in revenue for Facebook, for example. It's absolutely massive. And just throwing into the mix the US Federal Reserve, there must be more news stories than you can shake a stick at to tell your clients. You must be exhausted.
Lindsay, so I just want to prepare all listeners out there. Today's podcast will be roughly about an hour and a half, maybe because, I mean, it's just, there's so much news. I mean, you just said it. It's just news event upon news event upon news event. And it's just the one, you know, one day you're ahead, the next day you're way behind. It's just, you can't, you know, this market is just crazy. Yeah, I think the topic of the week most probably would be the whole Chinese sell-off. But I mean, we've seen yesterday and again today, you know, massive you know, comeback from the likes of the Naspers, the Process, the Tencent, those type of companies. I do think everybody has now suddenly got this VIE worry, you know, this whole structures. And I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, if you're worried now, you should have been worried 20 years ago, because that's when you know, a lot of these companies started to exist in this format. So, yeah, you're dealing with a different setup. I mean, the Chinese government, Chinese regulators. I mean, it's a different setup. And we've often had this conversation, is you always need to be mindful buying into these companies that anything can happen. I mean, you're sitting with a communistic, you know, government that can pretty much do anything at any time. And we've seen this now again. So They did have a conversation with the market. I think the regulators came in. They sort of spoken to a lot of the large banks yesterday, and they brought some calm.
Yes.
To some of the market. But I mean, since then, I mean, the results that was released, you know, from a South African point of view and an international point of view, has just been mind-boggling. I mean, the results, firstly, is phenomenal. And we'll touch on a few, because like I mentioned, there is so many companies that reported over the past 24 hours. And it does seem like this, let's call it, whole commodity play is definitely still very much intact. I mean, and why I'm saying this, I mean, we last week we had the Anglo-American Platinum that brought out results. We saw phenomenal results. I mean, that the payout in terms of dividends, I mean, this is just crazy to think, you know, a company's going to have that confidence to pay out, you know, all profits as dividends for that half year. And that tells us as investors that they don't see the platinum, palladium, you know, those type of prices, the PGM prices, really, you know, retracing in a hurry. You're not going to pay out all your dividends if you've got that mind view.
But same with Kumba, of course. Never mind the PGMs, the platinum group metals. Also look at Kumba paying out all their earnings in a 72 rand 70 dividend. It's extraordinary.
It is extraordinary, Lindsay, and I think, you know, we often have to have this conversation, you know, about, you know, today the gold price is up, tomorrow the platinum price is down, you know, and we tend to always focus on these prices should go up for these mines to improve their earnings, aka and also improve their share prices. But we tend to forget that the current commodity prices is extremely good. for most of these mines, and I'm not just talking about PGMs, I'm talking about iron ore for, you know, Kumba. We looked at steel prices for ArcelorMittal. I mean, a company that you and I chatted about a year ago, trading at 30 cents levels, you know, today, you know, they came out with headline earnings per share of R2.23 per share. I mean, this is...
And it's, what is it now, R7.23, something like that, ArcelorMittal. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, I'm just looking at this price. It is amazing. Actually, that was in my Hail Mary. I had this little, what I called my Hail Mary portfolio, and ArcelorMittal was the first one, because it's almost...
I remember.
On a small, on a very tiny scale, this is... A Kumba, because Kumba was at 22, I think, and now look at it, wherever it is. And Anglo American was at 53, 54, whatever these, the exact price was, and they go soaring up to 650. And ArcelorMittal has done exactly the same. Steel companies worldwide are really looking very good indeed, despite the fact that the Chinese want to rein in the price of steel and the price of iron ore. The market is bigger than even the Chinese authorities, I have to say. Anyway, I went off at a tangent there. Carry on, please, Skulk.
No, but that's exactly my point, Lindsay. I mean, we're talking about if steel prices. Now, I mean, again, and we've seen it yesterday on Impala Platinum, exactly the same story. You know, platinum, you know, PGM prices looking fairly good. I mean, the results that it came out was again, just short of phenomenal. But, I mean, this is a company nobody wanted to touch 3 years ago. I actually sent out a tweet yesterday where I said, you know, when you look at the share price, exactly, you know, well, the tweet was yesterday. When you look at the 27th of July, 3 years ago, so basically 27th of July, 2018, the share price closed at R19.99, just shy of R20. Mm. Yesterday, the headline earnings per share, well, yesterday they brought out a trading statement stating that the headline earnings per share will be at least R24.90. I mean, this is just crazy. I mean, you know, what these companies are. So for all investors out there, you know, I think when you look at the commodity prices, you need to ask yourself, you know, the big question. Do you see anything fundamentally that would see a proper decrease in these commodity prices? I'm talking about a gold price going from $1,800 back to $1,400. A platinum price, you know, going from these, let's call it, dropping around to $200. I mean, the thing is, I can't say yes. I mean, you can see the demand is there. There's still proper stimulus. The Fed is clearly stating that although they're looking at some tapering, we're going to see lower interest rate environment up to, let's call it, end 2023, beginning 2024. That is telling me that there's no fundamental reason why the commodity prices should retrace over the shorter term. Back to you know, the other one. I mean, gold. I mean, when we look at something like Anglo Gold, yes, and you look at Gold Fields, they currently mine their gold irrespectively at $1,070 and $1,090. That's, you know, both them mining their gold at approximately, you know, $1,100. Currently, the gold price, $1,800, it could go down to $1,600, and they would still make a huge amount of free cash flow per annum.
Their margins are massive.
That is what we're seeing.
Their margins are absolutely massive. And what I'm so impressed about, when it comes to whether it be a gold company or any other company that digs stuff out the ground, diversified or specified, it doesn't matter. The fact is they're being very responsible. They're running their businesses like a business instead of running it like a casino and saying, well, we've got loads of money, let's go and buy this mine in Canada or something. They're doing things responsibly. And I think that's because the people that have been appointed at the top of many of these companies are ex-bean counters, and now they're saying, wait a second, chaps, let's make hay while the sun shines and consolidate. So I think it's still going to run personally, but then what do I know?
And that brings me to the final one, and then we look at a mine house like Anglo American that had brought out their interim results.
Look now, at those numbers, look at that dividend.
I mean, it's massive. Massive, 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 massive. There you've got a proper spread. You've got, they're holding, you know, iron ore through Kumba. I mean, this is a proper mining house. De Beers, I mean, they've got precious metals in this. They've got copper. I mean, this is a proper, you know, mine house. And you can clearly see, I mean, look at this. I mean, massive increase in dividends, massive increase, I mean, in EBITDA. I mean, the net debt levels, that's actually reduced. So, I mean, no wonder the share price reacted again today, you know, 3.4%. This is a company that you and I have been chatting about for the past 2 weeks, bringing out good results, good share price movement upon good share price movement. And today, it's no different.
I think contrarians will say, listening to this podcast between Williams and Lowe, this is the top of the market because they both sound so enthusiastic about the market. But you can't help yourself, can you? It's just, it is a good South African story. I mean, okay, so some of the companies don't ply a lot of their trade within our borders. But on the other hand, South Africa must take advantage of this, surely. The mining minister, or whatever his title is, must say, now, this is the time to consolidate and engage with the miners and talk to them and make it easier for people to come in and dig the stuff out of the ground, whether it be local people or people from overseas. Just take advantage of this boom. Do you see my sentiment?
Yes. I see that, and you know, you're not the only one. I mean, it sort of went under the radar because both the IMF and S&P brought out new, you know, forecasts for GDP, for country GDPs over the past, let's call it 72 hours. And the one thing that I mean, so clearly what you're just saying, they're seeing a similar scenario, because in the beginning of the year, and when I say beginning of the year, this is already into the commodity upward cycle. You know, in April, the IMF brought out a forecast for 2021 GDP for South Africa, you know, brought it out at 3.1%. They've now increased it to 4%. That's quite a hefty increase, you know, to go from you know, April to July, you know, from 3.1 to 4%. S&P, they see it a little bit higher. They see a GDP for South Africa at 4.2%. So, I mean, this is all very, very good, you know, in terms of a commodity. And I just want to mention one thing. You know, Lindsay, you and I, you're talking about the Williams Lowe conversation. This is not a conversation we've been having, you know, for the past 6 months or so. We've had this for you know, a very, very large portion of more than a year, saying that watch out, watch what the effect could be to South Africa when we see a commodity up cycle. I don't think it's finished, purely because when you look at the global economics, the global fundamentals, you need to ask yourself, as I said earlier, what's gonna trigger a retracement? If you still got, you know, stimulus, if you still got lower interest rate environment, you know, the demand is gonna stay there. Anyway, I think in short, I think very, very solid results coming from a lot of these mines this week. And yeah, I can't wait for the gold miners, because they're the ones that still need to announce. We've now seen the steel producers doing phenomenal. We've seen the PGMs doing phenomenal, and I don't think the gold mines will have it any different.
I don't think they'll disappoint. Let's have a look at the swap prices now, Skalk. The dollar rand is 14.67. Don't forget, this was 14.97 just 48 hours ago. So the rand doing very well, obviously linked to commodities, also linked to the weakness in the US dollar. I've got the British pound against the rand 20.47, the euro rand 17.41, the US dollar against the euro dollar exchange rate is 1.1870. We haven't even spoken about the Fed yet. The dollar's about 0.5% weaker. Last night in the United States of America, after the US Fed announcement, the Dow Jones was down 0.33%. The S&P was flat. The NASDAQ, though, was up 0.7%. We haven't even spoken about big tech in the United States yet. Tokyo up 0.75%. Shanghai up 1.5%. Hang Seng, after a torrid time, bouncing back after soothing words from the Chinese authorities, up 3%. The gold price, 1819, which is up 19, or just over 1%. The platinum price is up $12 an ounce to 1077. Where's palladium, please, Skulk?
Palladium currently trading at $2,639. And I think another one which we don't usually mention, I think we should give silver a mention. I mean, this is the commodity. I mean, it was fighting with that $25, you know, per ounce, and it was actually trading below that, you know, not even 24 hours ago. It just didn't just move above the $25. Currently trading, you know, close to about $25.45. I mean, this is a massive, massive movement from silver side.
Jolly good. I'll keep that on my radar as well. West Texas crude is up nearly 1% to $73.04 per barrel. Brent crude oil, $75.27, which is up around about 0.7%. The CRB commodity index is very close to all-time record highs. It's just below 233. The recent high has been 233.3. Don't want to get too technical, but it's very important to South Africa to watch this index because we're a commodity-based economy. Still, no matter what people say. And this is very important. So we're at close to a multi-year high here. The Bitcoin price, look at that. It's just hit 40,000. 40,000. It's only up around about 0.4%. But anyway, it's at 40,000 at the moment. The South African 10-year bond yield is 8.86%, which has barely changed. And the US 10-year bond yield, despite the Fed's pronunciations last night saying there's going to be nothing in terms of interest rate rises in the near future, we're not planning anything, 1.25%, which has barely changed. S&P futures are unchanged as well. Let's have a look at just briefly tell me about the Fed last night, Scott, because it is terribly important to every country in the world, never mind South Africa.
Yeah, I think the one thing that stood out is that you know, everything is not in order in the eyes. I mean, there's some significant, you know, differences you know, among the members, and that usually, I mean, that is usually not a bad, you know, good sign. You know, when everybody backs the view, and you know, you'd rather be wrong as a combined, but I mean, they clearly now very, very much divided. They're not sure. I mean, most of the members, you know, a lot of the members now coming out saying that they're not so sure that that the bank should not be looking to start, you know, hiking rates. And yeah, that's bad. I mean, I said earlier in this podcast that yeah, the Fed are looking to keep interest rates unchanged until end of 2023, maybe beginning 2024. But I mean, now if that's going to be the case, I mean, we saw the recent inflation coming out, and if some of the members are going to start pushing, you know, towards higher rates, I wonder how long you know, Paul might have a job. So let's see. Yeah. Let's see how that what that turns out. I think you could clearly see in the movement in precious metals after the FOMC that there's definitely some worry, because I mean, the gold price kicked up from 1800 to 1860. I mean, the silver price has moved from under $25 to $25.50. So clearly, there's some worry, and let's see how the next month go.
Yeah, let's see. Okay, top five major moves on the upside and the downside on my screen anyway, which is delayed. Anglo American up just over 3%. We've spoken about that. Naspers and Prosus both around about 3% higher. Harmony up 3.1%. Skulk Low is looking forward to those results and all the other miners' results. AB InBev on the downside, down 6%. Is that an ex-dividend story, Skulk, or what's going on with AB InBev?
No. That's a result story. That's a result story. It brought out results. And it's not good. I mean, it did miss. I mean, we look at if we look at compared to I just looked at Goldman Sachs' consensus. It came out, you know, 3.8% below consensus. So in general, not good. The results looked pretty good. They were pretty positive, and there were some. Let's call it positivity in their results, but in general, this was quite a big miss. And I think the outlook is not looking exuberant yet. Share price now down 6.4%.
Gosh, I better get out there and help them at lunchtime. South 32 down 5%. British American Tobacco. So you've got the drinkers and the smokers not doing well today. British American Tobacco down 1.3%. Dis-Chem, which is where you go when you've got a bit of a hangover. Despite that, down 1.2%, and Hammerson down 0.9%. Anything else this morning that you're looking at before we go to the indices, Skulk?
No, I think there's still a few enough companies that reported.
Yeah.
But I think we've covered most of them.
Okay, jolly good. JSE indices after nearly an hour of trading, please.
Oh, what a day. What a day. JSE currently up 1.6%, predominantly driven by the resource companies, who is up 2.3%. Industrials, despite the fact that the British American Tobacco Company and Anheuser-Busch are down, they're still positive 1.34%. Financials is in the green 0.61%. And SF Property is taking a bit of a breather today, down 0.5%.
So we're close to 4% up in 2 days. We didn't speak last night. That wasn't your fault. That was my fault. But last night on the 5 o'clock shadow, we would have been talking about a really nice bounce back on the all share of the JSE. And here we are again, another sort of embellishment of an oversold position. In other words, we're bouncing back.
Yeah. No, I think the one thing that I actually mentioned, 2 days ago, well, on Tuesday, when we were in this, let's call it the eye of the storm, the eye of the Chinese storm,
yeah,
was despite the fact that both Naspers and Prosus, we know already is a very large portion or weight in our indices, despite the fact that they were really being sold off, I mean, our JSE remained fairly resilient, clearly showing us that what we lost on the swings, we made up on the, let's call it the commodity roundabouts.
Yes.
And now it's just continue. I mean, Naspers today up 3.3%, clearly helping the market. But I mean, look at the commodity help as well. So yeah, I think well balanced. I think I just want to mention, I thought it was pretty sad, when I looked at the sense this morning. I had a trading statement, coming from Liberty Holding.
Yes.
A trading statement that they brought out, and just after that, Imperial brought out an announcement that they will be acquiring the J&J Group, and I quickly start reading. I thought, I don't think it's really, we don't need to read this anymore, because both of these, big companies that have been with us for many, many decades, are not going to be with us, soon. So yeah, that's that was a bit of a sad one for me. But yeah, what was sad was definitely made up by the likes of Anglo-Americans, ArcelorMittals, and those type of companies.
We won't speak before the Lions play the Springboks on Saturday, Skalk, but I give you my commiserations in advance. I'm really sorry that we came here and conquered yet again, and but you gave it your all, and it's rugby that was the real winner here.
Rugby was the real winner. Oh, come on, please, Lindsay. Oh man, they needed to find excuses, aka forward passes. Which I mean, just listen.
Excuse
to
me, the TMO, the TMO. Is a South African, for goodness sake. So
but the TMO, actually, when you listen to his words, I mean, his words were in the line of, I'm not 100% sure, but that definitely looked forward, so I'm going to go with forward. I mean, yeah, anyway, let's not go into this. It was a loss on paper, and we can't go back in time.
What do you mean it was a loss on paper? It is a loss. I mean, it's like saying, well, I've lost, I'm long of Naspers, and it's a loss on paper, but I didn't really lose because Naspers is a good company. What are you talking about? What are you, Rassi Erasmus or something?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a series. I mean, we haven't lost yet. The series is still very, very, very we'll have a chat next Wednesday, but you and I had a chat off air last Wednesday, and I think we sort of had consensus that the Springboks might be in trouble. And man, halfway through that game, nobody saw that coming. So yeah, I might just have to differ from you. I think this Saturday might be a bit of a different story.
Bounce back ability. Yeah, it's the process and Naspers factor exuding itself from the Springboks performance on Saturday. I don't think so. I think the Lions have made three nice changes, and I think they're going to run riot on that soggy pitch in Greenpoint, the Cape Town Stadium.
Yeah, it's not a good pitch, and you don't see this, but as I'm sitting here, I'm looking out a window which is pouring down. It is typical Cape Town weather, but luckily it does seem like we're gonna see some sunshine tomorrow, and then hopefully a dry game on Saturday.
Skalk Rassi Erasmus Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth, and that was the opening.